that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll around once more. When it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has rolled around again. And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Coming to you live from a sunny and beautiful Sunrise Radio Ranch this morning, May 2nd, 2020. And we do have a full crew on this morning. I want to welcome from Michigan, Brother Zach. Good morning, Brother Zach.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother Paul, also from Michigan.
Good morning.
And I got Tim from Nebraska. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we save the best for last. Good morning, Jason. How you doing, sir?
Good morning.
Good. We say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us here. May 2nd, hope you, if you didn't participate in the Passover back on April 1st, hopefully you did last night. That was the Passover makeup day. And I think from here it's going to get interesting. I think from here on out, not that it hasn't been. Well, John, if you'd open us up in prayer, we'll see where we go from there.
Sure. Father, we thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together and share the truth. We ask that you guide us with understanding and discernment regarding what's important for your people, the remnant. Show us how it ties in to biblical prophecy, Father. We realize that we're living in Revelation right now. Father, that you warned us about that these things would come many years ago. And for the most part, people don't understand the spiritual warfare that we're battling in. Father, we thank you for the pastor that you gave us for 30 years that exposed these things many, many years ago. And used to be called conspiracy theories, but now there are a certain number of people that have had the scales removed from their eyes and their ears unstopped, and
can hear and see the truth and can see the conspiracy theories of old unfolding before their very eyes. But Lord, we cry out for grace and mercy and compassion, and that you would remember us in your wrath. Find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. Father, we pray that you would anoint our faith, that you would help us to strengthen our faith, that you would, your Holy Spirit would cause us to pray for our faith and to not only ourselves and our families and loved ones, but all of those that are yours, all of those that have been born again of the water and the Spirit, those that have contacted the blood of Jesus. Father, I pray that peace would come upon them, a peace that passes all understanding, that no one can really understand in a chaotic time than a Christian that knows you and knows your promises and trusts in your word, understanding that there's only one thing that you cannot do, and that is lie. So anything that is in the Bible is the word of God and is the truth. And if you have contacted that blood, then you can claim those promises. We thank you for those promises, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity this morning to get together with my brothers all across the country and to praise you, Father. We continue to see that you are a God that hears and answers our prayers. We see that the things that were done in the dark are being brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. We see that there's confusion in the camp of the enemy and that they are turning upon one another to devour one another. And we're starting to see some righteous judgment, Lord. We continue to pray for those three things. We pray that we would hear ye the Lord and that we would be obedient when we do. Father, we know that the evil, wicked ones are planning our demise, but we also know that your word says that they make their plans and you sit in the heavens and you laugh and you scoff at them. We continue to pray for you to send ministering angels to those in positions of authority that have you as their head. And we pray for guardian angels to be all about them and their families, and warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places. Father, we know that the demonic forces of hell are coming against us. We know that greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us, and that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. But we also know that we need our faith strengthened. We need more Holy Spirit, Lord. So your word says we have not because we ask not. Well, we're asking, Lord. We're asking for you to strengthen our faith, and we're asking for you to just to be with us, Lord, that we would feel your companionship, Lord, that you're right there with us through all of these things. I pray that you would draw the families closer together, husband and wives, lovers, as lovers and best friends, and draw the children's hearts back to the parents and the parents' hearts back to the children. And Father, that you would give us the opportunity to use this man-made crisis to draw those out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, those that can come to repentance. That's our prayer and petition this morning. And Lord, just bless this time of fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning if you'd like to call in. The number, 307-745-5913. And in amongst everything else that's going on, seems like kind of the, I would say the highlight, at least from the pictures I saw this week, was the Michigan protesters, armed protesters, some with masks, some without. The headline said they stormed the state capitol. I don't know that they quite stormed it, but they did go. They were inside. They were protesting. They were violating the wear your mask in government office orders. They were violating the six-foot orders. And it went off, I thought, without a hitch. And we've got a couple guys from Paul and Zach from Michigan, and I thought we'd ask you guys about it. But it looked like that it got some people's attention. went off, I would say, seems like without a hitch, without any real problems. Guys, what do you think?
Todd, do you want to go or do you want me to?
Go ahead.
I believe that was the third demonstration down at the Capitol there in Lansing. And, Richard, you're right. Those guys, they were in the Capitol. They were just outside the representative chambers as they were in session discussing what to do next or whatever they were discussing. I'm not really sure, but... And they were in the building, and they were armed. And I think in a lot of ways it's a really good message to not only the state but the nation that there are a lot of still decent, law-abiding people out there. That it lets the government on the state level and the federal levels know that the people are watching. And, I don't know what our governor is thinking, but it just stuns me that he would want to be the fart in the powder keg. And it doesn't really look like anybody's backing down. And what happens from here on out, I don't know. It is exciting time. I wouldn't say be intimidating. Personally, I am actually really excited. I'm almost giddy. We've been waiting for this kind of thing to happen. And I think as a remnant, and from the remnant's point of view, we need to be ready on every level to teach people. And, that's really, we could potentially be the teachers of what is coming. And what is coming is, I hope and pray that the Babylonian system is going down and God's system is coming in. And, we had a man, his name was Jesus Christ. He hung on the cross not only to buy our, give us eternal life, but he bought our political point of view. And his political point of view is a kingdom here on earth, and we really need to want that kingdom. And we really need to promote that kingdom. And so that first step is repentance and baptism and teaching people the Israelite truth and teaching people how to survive, because Babylon has they have a solution for everything. They have a food system. They have a healthcare system. They have a money system. They have a solution for every problem that God has, for every need that God's law, takes care of. And we need to want that system. And we need not to want the Babylonian system. So what you see going on, it is a good thing, but be sure what you want. Those are my thoughts on them. And be secure in what you want. It's either God's system or the Babylonian system. Take your pick. And I'm going to choose God's system. That's how my actions are going. I'm moving towards God's system.
Amen.
Those are my thoughts on it.
Amen. Paul?
One of the most significant things that I think took place down there was the fact that the House voted against the governor and voted to overrule the governor in the stay-at-home order. But the problem is that they have lots of weapons, too, and all she did was enact another executive order, which didn't really matter that they were overruling her stay-at-home order, because the executive orders take precedence over the stay-at-home order.
Well, the Senate got approval to sue her, too. So, I mean, that's going on now. That's just recent, too. There's trouble there. There ain't no two ways about it. it's a good thing. You know, it's people are finding out what they really believe. You know, I've hated this system forever. I'm kind of giddy about this thing going down, you know. I mean, it would be comfortable to go back my old ways, go down to the coffee shop and stuff like I used to and stuff like that, and there's nothing wrong with what happened. I'm changing, I'm forced to, and it ain't all bad. You see, the thing of it is, in the news or nothing, you never hear anybody talk about God in this way, in a beneficial way, and, they're mocking God. One of the curses of the Bible is having women and children rule over you. Now, we got a woman governor, we got a woman prosecutor. I mean, there's just women everywhere you want to go, and you know, as near as I can tell, they just about 90% make the wrong decisions because it's emotional. It's not facts. You know, if you study American history, where this all started from, you know, God is being mocked. You know, we get the government we deserve. I mean, you know. It you know, everybody here knows how hard it is to talk to your neighbor about this stuff because they were all comfortable. Well, their comfort zone is getting shaken now, and that's going to go one way or the other. And I don't know who's going where, but God will not be mocked. He said, I will not be mocked. And he's basically everything that goes on in this country, from the blasphemous Supreme Court to everything, mocks God. You know, they don't make law. Judges make law. They're supposed to be referees against, you know, law forces that are, you know, they're supposed to be a referee, make sure it's carried out, but they're dictators too. So everywhere you look, this is not good what we got. And I'm excited about what's coming because that song, Can't You Feel the Kingdom Coming? It's coming. Get ready. He will not be mocked. So
amen.
That's my take on it.
Amen. You know, Daniel 9:7 says that very thing. It says, righteousness belongs to thee, O Lord, but to us open shame. And you're right, Paul. It is to our shame that we've gotten to this point. Guys, let's try the phone lines real quick. Got a caller. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're on the air. What was your comment?
How has the lockdown situation in southeastern Wyoming, northwestern Colorado been as of late?
You know, as of a day or two ago, the borders were open. No, nothing major. So, Jason, unless you've seen anything, any change in the last day or two?
No, everything's about the same here.
Well, I have an issue that I'd like to bring to light about, and I'm sure your brethren will be happy to know that it's not COVID-related. I think we can all be glad about that. later in June, there's going to be a homeschooling summit taking place over at Harvard, whether that's in person or on video call, I don't know, but I presume the latter. Anyways, it's organized by one Professor Elizabeth Barthollet, and I'd encourage anybody in the remnant who homeschools or is supportive of homeschooling to Google this Jezebelian professor. That's Elizabeth Barthollet, Barthollet. And you'll find a dozen or so articles that basically say the same message. She believes homeschooling is an eventual, if not active, breeding ground for racism, sexism, and what she terms political isolationism, whatever that means. She never defines her buzzword. And, another one is Dr. James Dwyer, D-W-Y-E-R. He wrote a law school article in which he attempts to debunk the doctrine of parents' rights and saying there's no such thing and the children are only citizen. There's only a citizen and government relationship, not a parent and child relationship. And I'll leave you with this comment before I go. They paint us as these intolerant people who can't stand to be in the same room as people we disagree with. But it seems to me that they're doing the exact same thing. They don't like us teaching our children because we indoctrinate them, or whatever they want to call it. We teach them with a belief system that they don't agree with and one that they can't have even exist, let alone be the dominant school of thought in Babylon. Just like Pastor Peters used to say, they portray us the way that they actually are. Anyways, I'll hang up and let you guys comment on that. God bless you all and have a good morning.
All right, Anders. God bless. Safe travels, brother. Safe travels. Yeah, excellent point. I saw that article as well, and they are. They don't hide their feelings anymore. They just come out and tell you that, you know, that they think homeschooling is wrong because they want to indoctrinate all children. It is the only way for them to maintain their way of life, to indoctrinate all children into their, through the public school system, and into their, like he said, just citizen and government mentality. I'm sorry, those that homeschool usually have a little different outlook on it.
Well, that's one of our problems. We're way too tolerant, have been for years. You know, we put up, you think it'd be nice to people, they're going to come around, they're just not going to. And they're adamant about preserving their system. First of all, they don't want to be responsible themselves, they want the school to do it, and stuff like that. And it really don't matter where you're taught. You know, homeschooling is overrated in some aspect, because I've seen people homeschool that shouldn't. The thing of it is what you're taught. That could be taught in a group session in a school, yes, with a God-fearing person. It don't really matter what's done. And Pastor Peter said one of the best things that is above homeschooling is self-education, and that's true. I've self-educated myself because of things I watched that just weren't right, you know, particularly in the church I went to and stuff like that. Well, it forced me to look into the book, but a lot of people don't. They just leave. So, it don't really matter where you learn it. It's just what you learn.
Amen.
Yeah, you can see they're trying to preserve Babylon any way they can. Pierce's economic collapse in history is best month for stock market. The collapse crushes jobs, personal income, consumer spending, consumer sentiment, car sales, general economic activity, while the stock market has its best month ever. And, you know, I was talking to an accountant friend of mine, and he basically said that he's talking to a bunch of restaurant owners and small business owners that have him do their tax filings and their books and stuff, and a lot of them aren't coming back. And the other thing is, the ones that are trying to come back, the ones that are making preparations to come back, excuse me, as they contact their employees don't want to come back. Number one, the demon rats made 100% sure that in that first, or probably the third package, I guess there's $6.7 trillion already dedicated to this quote-unquote pandemic crisis. That's a whole nother story. But the bottom line is, these people who used to work in the service sectors, they don't want to come back because that CARES Act, which nobody can even tell you what the heck it is, basically you apply for your unemployment through your state, which the employer's paid into for as long as you've been there for your account or whatever. But, by the way, that account is much less than what you actually would receive, especially if you remember after 9/11, they extended unemployment for like 2 years. Well, anyways, the CARES Act gives them $600 a week on top of their unemployment. And that number, 600, is significant as well, because what have they been saying? They want a $15 minimum wage, right? Times 40, there's 600. And actually, the crazy Jezebel bat, old bat, Pelosi is recommending a $2,000 a month basically basic income for every citizen in the United States. And but you know, it's just, I think what, if you remember at 08 when they passed that $1 trillion stimulus bill the first time, they used the majority of that against the people. Most of that money went to municipalities and governments and police departments and things like that to militarize them, and basically to create the surveillance against the people. And I think they thought, well, you know what, we got away with a trillion. How about 6 trillion, or how about 10 trillion? You know, and we all know that it's funny money, but it is interesting to watch them try to continue to prop up Babylon. He's talking to some co-workers, and they're all freaked out about their pensions and stuff in their 401ks and all that, and they're like, well, the market's coming back, you know, it's coming back. And I'm like, well, you know, where are you going to put your trust? Because I'm telling you that this bitch is going down, and she ain't coming back, and that's just the way it's going to be. And they don't like to hear that. They just don't like to hear that. I said, well, you asked me.
Oh, and that's what is happening. You're taking this many people out of the workforce. I mean, there's people that are getting $1,000 a week to stay at home and do nothing and play video games. There's other people that I've talked to, that people that don't want to be on unemployment, but they're sitting there telling me they're like, if we went on unemployment right now, we'd make $4,800 a month. $4,800 a month. And they said, you know, that's $500 less than I'm making working full time. You know, the problem is I want to work, and I mean they're encouraging people not to work, to be lazy, to sit at home. And you know, you look at these younger people, it's like, you know, they think they can't afford to go back to work because they're making more on unemployment than they are working full time.
Yeah. And they're actually mad at their employers if they got the PPP money and have been paying them through the crisis. They're mad because they could get more money if they lay them off, and they're asking their employers to lay them off so that they can have eligibility to that.
Oh, and they changed that, and then they don't even have to get laid off anymore. It's all they have to do is they quit their job because they were scared of the COVID-19. And as soon as they say that, it used to be that you had to be laid off and you had to have a letter and, you know, prove that you were laid off from your job for some reason. Now you can quit your job and the same thing. That's the difference.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't realize that developed into that.
Why don't we look at that just a little different angle? You know, what do you think God's doing? He's baiting us to see what you're made out of. You know, if you think your wealth is... If you think your wealth is how much money or how much retirement you got, I mean, you've got paper. That's all it is. The whole thing's a paper castle. I think God's just testing to see what we want, what we really want. You know, I know Zach and I, we don't want, we just want, just get out of our way. Just give us what we need. We don't even need a lot. And see, if you think if your whole life is based on what you're making, there's something wrong with what you're doing.
Amen to that.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't put a price on opportunity. You know, we've got this, they're talking about renewing the economy and opening things back up, and how are we going to do this and what kind of stimulus packages we need? And opportunity's priceless. It's like, if you guys would get out of the way, those movers and shakers out there, those people who have the fire of God in their belly will get up there and make things happen. You know, but you're going to have to get out of the way. And we have a lot of people out there who are just whores. They can be bought, you know, off of some food stamps or off of some unemployment programs or off of these other things. And I think it's funny to walk into some of these big stores and you can tell the Kool-Aid drinkers, I mean, when you're walking around. So it's kind of like, yep, I see. But it's certainly a terror sticking their head up moment, you know, higher and higher. I mean, they've got that going on.
Well, you know, what's her name, Gretchen, she can make rules and stuff like that, but my real enemy is my neighbor. He'll turn you in a heartbeat if you ain't wearing your mask or doing what they think you should be doing, you know, because their loyalty is to Babylon and God, and it ain't to God because, you know, fear and faith can't coexist.
Yeah.
I'm going to die sometime, I'm pretty sure, unless that generation of Dome, that's a possibility, but who knows, it doesn't really matter to me, but I'm telling you, most people are desperately trying to hold on to the system, and, you know, yeah, they get paid. Well, I'll tell you, the grocery stores are drying up. There was a meat company here not too far from me, their demand for meat is up 400%. People see it coming, the supermarkets are agents. They're just handling products and making profit on it. But I'm telling you, the grocery stores are going to be empty not very far, and some basic food. So it's coming. I think God's baiting us. Just say, what are you made out of, folks? You know, do you trust me or do you trust Babylon?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look at the fact that they're saying that the wholesale price of beef has risen 62% since February. That's if you can find it in some of these grocery stores. And then they got the FDA not wanting to open the meat plants to produce, but to open the meat plants just to slaughter, just to kill cattle and pigs and chickens and everything else. And, you know, that stuff's being destroyed wholesale, just like the crops are being plowed under our fields and stuff. So, I mean, God gave us a lot of warnings about this famine that's coming, and it's coming. And, you know, like Zach said before, he said, those people who may have just seen the light, may have just had their eyes open, may have, you know, they're looking at us for spiritual leadership and understanding, but they're also going to be looking for us to for subsistence to survive. I mean, like you said, Paul, it's what Dad warned us of 20-some years ago, snitch colony, you know. Back then they were trying to create that snitch colony, and it didn't really take off too well back then. But give them a few more decades of indoctrination, and boy, it's sure taking off now. You almost got, it's almost like the vaccine issue where you had to be somewhat wise as a serpent when you talk about it, you know. This COVID-19 is kind of that way as well. You have to be wise as a serpent. You know, it's almost to the point where we're going to draw half of the fish symbol with our foot in the sand, and if they draw the other half, then you're clear to talk about it and don't have to worry about retaliation or them turning you in or something. But it's interesting that there's so many people that are starting to have their eyes open and can see, you know, the conspiracy. And but then there are those that have probably just sat in the Judeo-Christian churches so long that they, you know, obey authority. It's almost like they live. Remember how they could, with the glasses, they could see all the subliminals on the billboards and everywhere they looked, you know. And that's kind of the class we have. There's still a people, a large number, that are under a spell. And like you said, they're trying anything and everything they can to prop up Babylon.
Well, you know, if you get $900,000 a week and go to the store and there ain't nothing there, what good's it going to do you? This happened in Germany. They had a wheelbarrow full of money, couldn't buy a loaf of bread.
That's right.
You know, this has happened before. There's a guy not too far from here. There's a guy not too far from here.
Go ahead, Paul, sorry.
Yeah, there's a guy not too far from here. He's got three semi-loads of cattle to go to slaughter, no place to go with them. So, you know, and up in Minnesota, they opened a slaughter plant for pigs, and they're just killing them, and they're not processing them at all. They're just dumping them. So that ain't a bad idea, but I'm just telling you how the food chain works.
That's what they're doing. And you get, you know, there's only four major processors. Almost everybody, all of the processors are owned by them. And JBS, owned by two Brazilians, and you see what's happened down there. And they're more than happy to do that here and to run the American farmer, the American rancher, out of business. And then don't think that they don't have boatloads of nasty Brazilian beef ready to come on, ready to come. They've already been bringing in beef from Africa, if you can imagine that. Talk about insanity. It is. It is war. It is a famine that is coming. Some people see it. Some people don't. You know, the governor of New Mexico, Grisham, she declared the State Riot Act, the Riot Control Act, closed down the city of Gallup, you know, to halt the spread of this COVID-19, because they're not flattening the curve. They're using all, it's funny how they all use all the buzzwords, you know, flattening the curve, it's not just in Michigan, it's all over. If you saw the protest in California, a lot of the people just went back to the beach. I guess that's kind of what they do in California. And the police are out on their horses trying to stop them, but it's a numbers game. And just like the protesters in Michigan, there's just not enough of them that are wearing a badge or doing what these ungodly governors, mainly demon rats, are putting in place, and the people are awakening to it. They might not be awakening to everything that's going on, but they're saying we've had enough.
Paul hit the nail on the head, though. When he talked about the women in positions of authority as the governors, and then you might as well call Newsom a woman. He probably takes estrogen. But did you see that? Some of the doctors are prescribing estrogen as part of the cure because women women are affected less by the COVID-19 than men. Unbelievable. It really is unbelievable when you think about how stupid people are.
Yeah, when you have the eyes to see it. Let's go to the phone lines, guys. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, just a request and a comment. My request is this. On the Sunday morning service, if you guys could let us know out here in internet and phone world when there's technical difficulties, because the last couple weekends I've tried to call in on phone number and it's just a busy signal. It doesn't pick up or do anything. So if you guys are aware of that, maybe you could let us know out here. That way I could stop banging my head against the wall and try to figure out a problem on my end. But that would help out quite a bit. Like I said, if you know about it, if you don't, I completely understand. Those technical gremlins can get tricky from time to time. Now my comment.
I think it's because there's so many more.
This morning on CBS, CBS News, pardon me, and they're saying that the Canadians have now banned all assault-style rifles, and they've got a 2-year grace period before they disarm our kindred up there in Canada. I thought that was a pretty big story. I didn't know if you heard about it. I didn't know if you talked about it yet.
Covering that here in a minute.
I'm just kind of curious what your comments would be on that, and I will hang up and listen to your comments on that. Thank you for all you do. Appreciate it, and have a great weekend and a great morning. God bless you.
Thanks. You as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Jason, do you want to address that? Or?
I think we'll let the Prime Minister address it. I got about a minute clip here that I want to play just to start off with.
Okay.
Last week, 22 Canadians were killed in the deadliest rampage in our country's history. They were nurses and teachers, correctional officers, and RCMP officers. They were someone's child, someone's best friend, someone's partner. Their families deserve more than thoughts and prayers. Canadians deserve more than thoughts and prayers. Today, we are closing the market for military-grade assault weapons in Canada. We are banning 1,500 models and variants of these firearms by way of regulations. These weapons were designed for one purpose and one purpose only, to kill the largest number of people in the shortest amount of time. There is no use and no place for such weapons in Canada. So, effective immediately, it is no longer permitted to buy, sell, transport, import, or use military-grade assault weapons in this country. To protect law-abiding gun owners from criminal liability until they can take steps to comply with this new law, there will be a 2-year amnesty period, and we will legislate fair compensation.
And that's basically what they had to say about it. They came out, they banned 1,500 types of assault weapons, effective immediately in the country of Canada. You can't transport them, you can't use them, you can't go in your backyard, you can't shoot them. And you look at the list, and the list is just goes on and on and on, and it's basically everything that's on the list. They have 1,500 types of assault weapons on their banning list, and it's all variants of that type of rifle. So, basically, you talk about communism, you see it just, just boom. And up there, I mean, it wasn't something that they voted on or anything like that. It was the Prime Minister came out and said, this is what we've done, this is that, this is it, and it's effective immediately. End of story. So
22 people. You know, 22 people. That's all they said. 22 people were killed, and all of a sudden they're going to disarm the whole country.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Don't think it can't happen here. That already happened down in Mexico. Mexico's had a ban on those type of weapons for 20 or 30 years, at least, if not longer. And look what Mexico's turned into. It doesn't help. You know, didn't our pastor teach that? You take what they say, take the exact opposite. That's not to save Canadians. That's to prevent them from saving themselves. How about if when that idiot went on that rampage, the police officers that he shot, how about if they were trained better in the use of defending themselves instead of trying to talk them out of it? Oh, sir, you don't want to do that, do you? We need to talk about this. No, he's blasting away. If somebody would have pulled a Colt 45 and put about three of them in him, there wouldn't have been any more murder. You know, the solution the enemy puts out, I like what was said earlier. I think you said it, Zach, about how, you know, this system, oh, they have an answer for everything. It's not God's answer. It's just the opposite. But they have an answer. They have a ruling or a law as to how to deal with this. They don't care about saving Canadians. They want to have it so Canadians can't defend themselves anymore. And don't think that that couldn't happen here. Don't think it couldn't happen here. It's happened to the south of us. And Mexico's turned into an absolute war zone, and it's happening to the north of us as well. So don't think it couldn't just float right into here.
What they don't ever approach is the way to cure this all is not to take the weapons away, but to punish crime the way God said to. And then you would just start cleaning house real quickly.
Yeah, amen. Instead, we're letting the criminals out and threatening to put people who would dare violate the mandates of the people in authority in jail.
Yes.
It's real simple. I mean,
if you look at what's happened up there anyway, I mean, since January 1st, 2001, all firearms in the country of Canada had to be registered with the Canadian Firearm Registry. Pistols have either been prohibited or regulated, heavily regulated, for years. I mean, they haven't been able to in Canada. You take that, and it's just like everything's happened, you know, one step, you know. I mean, it doesn't seem like January 1st, 2001 was that long ago, but I mean, geez, we're going on 20 years. 20 years ago, that's when they made it mandatory to register. So you can see that they had their sights on knowing what people had and getting rid of it.
That's for sure.
You know, it's everything's been in place. You know, and the thing is they make it out to be okay. Yeah, this is to kill as many people in the shortest amount of time. What about defending yourself against a tyrannical government? That's what the Second Amendment has been all about all along. You know, and boy, they sure don't like to when you start quoting stuff like that.
No, well, and that was one of the things they talked about in the Michigan House of Representatives there with Governor Gretchen was there were guys up there on the galley standing up there with rifles. They didn't do any shooting, but just the... It was like, they don't listen to anybody, just on anything else. There's got to be some power behind that. And, you know, that's what we see. Suddenly it was like the House of Representatives going, maybe we better sue her and get her to shut up, get her to straighten up, you know, because, this is getting dire. So, yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, those were her people, though, that were up in the balcony that were I forget what they were, something in arms, soldiers in arms or something like that.
Sergeants, and, the sergeants of arms.
Yeah, yes. Sergeants in arms, yeah. And they were, full vests and, you know, military apparel and rifle and all that. So they obviously had a vantage point from up there than the protesters that were down below. But.
Right, right. Yeah, I just meant that they're worried enough that it was like, you know, they started waking up and paying attention from the fact that someone showed up with, you know, some, it's like we don't need a megaphone, but you will listen to
right.
what we're saying. And I think that, you know, the plandemic, this isn't a pandemic, it's a plandemic. You know, the problem with revolutions of any kind is they're easily taken over and steered inappropriately. And that's, we see this struggle for control and this great thrust for power. And you know, it can go several directions. It can go good. It can go bad. It just, we're blessed that our God sits on the throne, you know, and he's got it in mind as far as how it's going to go. And not only in mind, but well in hand and in control.
Amen.
Yeah. A lot of things I think people miss what's going on too, though, is the fact that, you know, we've been hearing about for probably a year, maybe longer, about all of these indictments that are supposed to be coming down against the demon rats and the FBI and CIA and all this other stuff. And that stuff's actually starting to take place. They're uncovering documents and things like that expose all the way to the president, abomination. And don't think that, you know, when a rat's cornered, they'll do everything that they can to throw, you know, to wag the dog. And but the bottom line is, if you look at even the Depression, the only way out of this thing is a war, really. So we're going to go to war, whether it's with Iran or with China or with both of those, and who knows. But the writing's on the wall. You know, it's not only rumors of wars and plagues and pestilence and floods and famine and, I mean, all the things that Jesus said to watch for before the end. Got news for you. We're seeing them.
Yes, we are. We are. You know, you mentioned fires. Looking at one of the worst fire seasons coming up, California's still in a severe drought. Have already had several large, over 1,000-acre fires down in Colorado. Hayden, Colorado, just outside of Hayden, had a big fire burning just yesterday. And so, you know, the drought, the fires, more record fires. We've had record fires in California and in the Southwest almost every year. And so just get ready for more of them. You know, that handwriting is on the wall. It really is.
You know, so little of that hits the news, too. It's all about this COVID baloney, you know, but the tornadoes and stuff going to the south are just devastating, and everything going on, the earthquakes, and that don't hit the news at all, you know. All you hear about the COVID, and watch my neighbors run around with their mask on, think they're going to live through it, so I don't know. Kind of squirrely.
Yeah, you watch in New York City, I don't know if you watch the video, it's kind of humorous, the fat, overweight New York Police Department chasing all of these Jews that decided to hold the funeral in the city, and they're dropping all their stuff as they're running and tripping over each other, and it was kind of comical. But then you got de Blasio offering 400,000 meals to the Muslims, you know, and then it's more significant than you realize, but the fact that in Minnesota that Ilhan Omar's district, which shame on us for allowing them to import so many Somalis that they've pretty much taken over sections of Minnesota. I'm sure there's Minnesota brothers out there that could give us additional detail. But bottom line is, they're never let a good crisis go to waste, right? So the fact that COVID-19 is in effect, and the fact that these stay-at-home lockdowns are in place, they've received permission from the mayor of, I forget what town it is, but it's one that's her district, to play over the loudspeaker during Ramadan the Muslim call to prayer 5 times a day, just, you know, loud as they can. But the good news is that I'm sure that those speakers are probably not that difficult to remove in one way or the other, and Lord willing, that's what will happen. But, you know, to have that, I mean, I think they've been doing it in New York for a while because there's a large section of New York that's been taken over as well. But the fact that this is Minnesota, man, I mean, these are our people that have been taken over.
Well, the book says the stranger will rule over us. You know, we cater to them. One thing I used to tell Pastor Peters all the time, I said, one of my biggest problems in life is trying to get along with people I shouldn't try to get along with, you know. The book's a two-edged sword, you know, even back when Obama got off, you shouldn't have the stranger rule over you. The people, the law's been taken away from the people. They don't even have a clue what you're talking about.
That's right.
You know, and that's probably one of the most devastating that the law's done away with. You know, in the Old Testament, I hate that word. It's the original Testament, and then you've got the Enlightenment Testament. I don't like that old and new stuff because that just puts it in your mind, well, that ain't apply no more. So, but you don't even know the Enlightened Testament unless you know the original Testament.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons the Anglo-Israel message is so important, so you can realize, you know, who this applies to. Guys, we've got time for one more call. And good morning. Welcome to the Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, Richard and Matt. This is Paul outside Chicago. How are you doing?
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, my pleasure. Listen, a couple of things that come to mind here. You know, we've got a governor here in Illinois. You know, he's an Edomite. And, you know, he's pretty much shutting down the state here. And being in the cleaning business, I never thought that we'd finally get our recognition that, well, we're an essential business and schools aren't. Kind of ironic, huh?
Yes.
And what I wanted to bring up was all this stuff going on and, you know, in the country today. We got to go back to Public Law 102.14. And that's when four congressmen under George H.W. Bush passed those Noahide laws. And those Noahide laws, the number one law is in their New World Order, One World Religion, is that you believe in one God. There's no Trinity in one God, as we know. And those laws are on the books today. So we have to keep that in mind, that they've got plans for us, you know, much bigger than running out of hand sanitizer and toilet paper. And things like that. And these people that plan these things, you know, the scripture tells us in Romans 9:13, you know, these churches tell us about, you know, God is love and he is love. But without love, you can't have hate. Hate without love and vice versa, light without darkness. And we go to Romans 9:13 and Jacob, I loved, but Esau, I hated. Malachi 1:3, but Esau, I have hated. And then the Holocaust is, as we know, Obadiah 18, when Esau will be a stubble, and there will be no survivors from Esau. So we do have enemies, and for the new listeners, it's important that we look into the scripture and see what it says.
Amen. Amen. Paul, thanks for the
good
call.
Good news. Parker is still doing well, and
awesome.
He's... he's moved out to Arizona, so he's getting closer. Out by you guys out there.
Awesome. Glad to hear that.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yep. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Paul, thanks for the call. Thanks for the update.
All right, brothers. Take care.
God bless.
God bless.
Well, guys, we're running out of time. Did any closing comments here as we wrap up this morning?
Yeah, I got one. You know, if I love my dog and I love my kids, one thing I do is discipline them, and that's what God does too. So, you know, everybody thinks love is wine and roses, but that ain't what it is. It's also discipline and responsibility.
Amen.
Amen. Discipline and responsibility.
Well, Lord willing, I hope to bring an encouraging message tomorrow in, you know, these times that seem dark to the world. So many promises that God's given us when we're born again of the water and the Spirit, when we're contacted the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, you know, understanding that that's the greatest weapon offensively and defensively is significant in this battle. You know, the enemy knows that its time's limited, and I believe that they know that that day draws nigh faster than most of us realize, and you know, they're pulling out all the stops to, it's just like we talked about, a rat's cornered. You know, they're going to do everything they can to fight and to claw and to bite and, you know, gnash their teeth, because that's really what's going on, just like the Bible said, that those Edomites that are in positions of authority, but shame on us for allowing it to happen. There's actually a video that came out here in Colorado that explains how four billionaires basically stole the state of Colorado over a period of time. And, you know, they're not foolish. They use our money. They actually got hundreds of millions of dollars from the Obamanation administration to do these faulty solar projects and things like that, created more hazardous waste than you can imagine, and then just basically folded, walked away, took the money, and used it to fund demon rat candidates. And you can say that negative ads don't work, but our people are so dumbed down that if you hammer them with enough, and that's what they're counting on, you hammer them with enough negative information, enough lies, and eventually they believe those lies. And that's what happened in the state of Colorado. You're in Texas, be leery, because that's their next target. Even in the Babylonian system of the presidency with the Electoral College, if they could win Texas, and they know it, then between California and Texas, then there's no way in the Babylonian system, again, that Republicans could ever win the House as president again. So we need to be leery and be good watchmen over the House of Israel. Even though
We need to do what God said. He sets in the heavens and laugh. We need to start laughing because they're self-destructive.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. Amen.
That's right, amen. Well, Remnant, we invite you to join us at church tomorrow. You can do that at scripturesforamerica.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. Click on the live video stream and join us. We encourage you to do so, especially in these times. John, looking forward to your positive message, encouraging. We can all use some encouragement these days. And folks, I can tell you the timeless pulpit truth that will be broadcast will be an encouragement as well. It'll be truth right out of the Word and truth that applies to our situation today. So we encourage you to join us for that. Men, thanks so much for tuning in and for joining us. We thank you, Remnant, for tuning in and keep us in your prayers. Know that we keep you in our prayers as well. God bless, and we'll see you in church in the morning.
Down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. As your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. Never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. My strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives takes away.